The plan, obviously, that God has for us is that He raised Jesus from the dead, put that inside of you, and now that's your destiny, to be conformed to that image, right? That is really, if you ever hear me say, like when there's a lot of people here and I don't have like time to go into depth into certain things, I'll just say God has a plan for each and every one of you, I'll say. But the thing is, in my mind, like I know what I'm saying. I'm not referring to a different plan for every single person, even though most people, when they say that, they're referring to that. They're saying God has a plan for each and every one of us, almost like there are different plans that God has for all of us. And I'm not saying that there are not different jobs that we have while on this earth for ministry purposes, because that wouldn't be correct if I were to discount that, because there are different jobs, because if everyone's doing one job, then all the other stuff doesn't get done. You know what I mean? For right now, one person is just not capable of doing all jobs at the same time. But that's not the destiny, though, that God has for you. Those are just things that you're doing for other people's sake. Okay, we wouldn't have to have these different ministries if it weren't for other people's sake. All right, if it was just us, you know, I wouldn't have to stand up here, obviously, if there weren't people to listen. Pastor Jose wouldn't have to have even started this church if there wasn't a call that God had for this church to reach people. Right, so that is a purpose for these ministries, right? But that is not our individual destinies. That's not the plan of God for us as individuals. That is not your destiny, just to put it plainly. That's not what God has called you to. The call of God, let me just say this. You know, the Bible says that those who are called according to His purpose. The Bible says that God has a purpose for you and that you've been called, because it is referring to Christians when it says those who are called according to His purpose. That God has a purpose and a destiny, and it is predetermined, and that's okay to say, as long as you explain it, that's okay to say. The way that people say it today, that's not right. But it is a predestiny, if you want to say it that way, a destiny that was planned beforehand by God for every single person that would choose Jesus, right? Obviously, we know this, that there's nothing, and I'm going to rehash this just slightly, that there's nothing that we can receive from God except through the way that is righteous through Jesus, okay? That's the way that we receive from God. You have to come through Jesus to receive from God. And Romans 5, verse 1 and 2 explain that very, very well. Through whom we have access, right? Remember we were talking about Enoch and Elijah, and I was touching on the fact that, you know, it's ridiculous to say that Enoch, that which is a one-time miracle thing. No. Anything God does in somebody's life, they had to receive access through Jesus, right? And if they came through Jesus, if Enoch went through Jesus to get what he received, then obviously that instance was not a unique instance for Enoch, right? And that's a very, very important point to make. Everything that we receive from God is through the way Jesus. So anyhow, just because, you know, it's super important to understand when we're talking about different things, regardless of what we're talking about, that point is made. Whenever you see something in the Bible, whenever you read something in the Bible about anybody, about anything that God has ever done, somebody received access through Jesus, right? That's always the reason behind why somebody received, because Jesus had to have provided it, right? There's a lot I could say about that, but we'll save that for a different time. Anyway, the destiny, though, like I said, that God has for you is the same destiny that Jesus has already reached, all right? So called according to His purpose. That's talking about Christians there in Romans, where it said that in Romans chapter 8, I believe it is, and it says that we are called according to His purpose, that God works all things together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose, and those are Christians. Every Christian has to have loved God, because that's faith. And the second feature that it names about a Christian is that they are all called according to God's purpose, that God has a purpose and a plan for us and a destiny for us, and we've been called to that. And this called is not like the way that you would say that everybody is called. This is not the same thing, okay? Because, you know, God has called everybody in the whole world in the sense that He's provided everything to them and has offered it to them. But this called according to His purpose, in other words, is really referring to the fact that you've been destined for this purpose. God has called you to this purpose. Now, in that verse, it doesn't explain what that purpose is, though. It doesn't explain what your purpose is in that verse. It just says that there is a purpose and that God has called you as a believer. That, again, that word call there is really talking about like that determination that God has made for you, that you've been determined and called to this. This is what God has in store for you, is this, in quotes, purpose. So there is a purpose that God has for us, right? And that purpose, though, is misconstrued when we start talking about ministry. We start talking about, I feel like I'm called to ministry, even though every Christian is obviously called to ministry. If you're going to grow up and just be a baseball player, or you're going to be an artist or something like that, you're wasting your life. You know, if you're going to do anything with art, then you know what? Seek the Lord so the Holy Spirit can use that for ministry. Just to paint stuff is like, what's that going to mean in the resurrection to paint stuff? You know, I work at the church and I edit messages, but it's not just the literal thing. I'm glad that God used it for ministry purposes, right? If you're not seeking the Lord to make something a ministry out of whatever you're doing so that people can get to know Jesus, you know, that's not, you know, in other words, my point is everybody's called to ministry. That's not a unique thing. But that call to ministry, that job that we were just talking about, that, you know, we all have for other people's sake, right? That God will use you for that. That's not your individual purpose, though. And typically when we talk about purpose, we're talking about stuff like that. We're talking about, I'm called to ministry. We're talking about, I want to grow up and be this, whatever. But let me just say this, too. So before we say anything further, the purpose that God has for you is the same purpose that Jesus has already fulfilled in his own body. You have that glory inside of you, and God has now called you, predestined you, and purposed you to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, the word conformed is not something you can use for your spirit. You can't say, for instance, my spirit is conformed to the image of Christ. That doesn't make any sense. Because if you know what the word conformed means, the word form is talking about the outside. It literally means the appearance. So that can't refer to your spirit, okay? Like when Jesus was transfigured, it's his appearance was changed. And the word conformed, don't be conformed to this world. That's not obviously saying that your spirit could ever be like this world. It's saying don't look like the world on the outside. Your form. And when it says that God wants you to be conformed, and that's your destiny, to be conformed to the image of Christ, that's saying that your purpose now, later, in the resurrection, doesn't matter when, because you're a believer, God has known you for all time and has called you since before you even knew him. God knew you, right? And he has already set you apart in his heart for this purpose. And this purpose, this destiny, though, that it is referring to, is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Now, God doesn't have to make you like Jesus, per se, just your body. You see? Because when God gave you that gift when you first got saved, it was for producing fruit. It was for the not just staying inside of you. But now the purpose that God has for you is not to gain something or to become something. Like, in other words, we might think that, oh, God has a purpose for me and I just have to find it. Well, it's very, very easy to find your purpose, okay? And the Bible explains that very, very clearly what everybody's purpose is, all right? I don't find my purpose in ministry. You know, all of our tasks in this room right now are going to change. They're going to fluctuate, you know, all the time. I'm not always preaching here. You know, if I'm out, you know, God could use me for other things. You know, there's a million different things that God can use you for other people's sake. But that's not your purpose, though. Your purpose is to be on the outside in the same appearance as Christ. Now, mind you, this is a purpose that God fulfills in you, right? This is what he's called you to. And this is not something that, in other words, I'm not saying that your purpose, in other words, what God wants you to do is be like Jesus. No, God wants you to listen to him and learn from him. But in other words, the purpose that God is bringing about in your life, the plan that he's unfolding in your life, is not any different from any other Christian. It's not any different, more importantly, than Jesus. Now, Jesus doesn't just have this glory on the inside of him, in his spirit. He has this over top of him also. So he is in this glory, not just the glory in him. So he's already been conformed to the image of the Father. And now we are being conformed to the image of Jesus. And you know, it's not splitting hairs to talk about this word conform, because it's not okay to ask God to make you like Jesus. And yet you may say, well, Pastor Mike, you kind of just said the same thing, that we're being conformed to the image of Jesus. But that's where the word conform really is important, that we understand that, because it is not referring to being made like Jesus. But rather, the Bible says that now, in 1 John, it says now we are like God. The way it phrased it there, though, is now we are children of God. Now we are. That means now we are like God. So it's not okay to ask God to make you like him. That's not okay. But it's okay to say, Father, teach me so I may be conformed to the image of Jesus. That means take what's in me and make my form look like Jesus. That's okay to say. And that right there, we already pegged it. So before we even go any further, we already pegged it exactly. Your destiny, your purpose is to be conformed to the image of the one that's inside of you. All right, that's your purpose. So, you know, it's really, you can never feel purposeless, or that there is no plan or there is no destiny that God has for you. based off of physical things. Because again, when you relate your purpose to all of these things, the more you relate your purpose to other things rather than what God's purpose is for you, the less and less you're actually going to feel like you have purpose. Because that's not going to, you know, God's not going to help you feel fulfilled in seeking other purposes than what God has already ordained for you. I'll repeat that. God is not going to help you feel fulfilled in other purposes that are not the purpose that He has for you. God will help you feel fulfilled, and you will be fulfilled seeking the Lord and fulfilling the purpose that He has for you. But that purpose is not, you know, going off. And this is why people jump the gun and they start their own ministry so quick too. Because they really do feel useless and they feel purposeless and they just want to do something meaningful. But the something meaningful has nothing to do, this is really, really, really cool point, has nothing to do with what you do for other people. If there was no one else on this earth right now, and it was just you and Jesus, you would have all the purpose in the world. Because your purpose is one thing, and to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And the fruit of becoming in your appearance, more and more in the appearance of Jesus in the flesh, results in what you speak, and it'll affect other people. You understand that, right? If I'm being conformed to the image of Jesus, that means my tongue speaks like Him, my eyes look like Him, my ears hear like Him, my mind thinks like Him, all of these treasures that are inside of me overflowing into my body, overflowing into my heart, that's happening, right? Then guess what? That's gonna, you know, if Jesus wants to talk to somebody, now He's gonna be able to talk to somebody because He's overflowing through you. But that talk, you understand? The talking to that person is not your purpose. That can obviously be a fruit of your purpose. But if, like I said, if there was no one to minister to, you still have purpose. Because your purpose is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. He brings about this purpose through you from glory to glory. It's something that is ongoing as long as your learning is ongoing, right? When your learning is full, then that stops being ongoing. And then you have kind of met the destiny, the full destiny that God has called you to, which obviously everybody gets that in the resurrection. Every single Christian, regardless of what they understand at this point right now, if they don't know it right now, then they're going to know it then, and then the destiny will have been met to the full, right? Okay, so purpose, right? Purpose. So the purpose is not anything else but being conformed to the image of Jesus. We'll see if we get to the verse. I kind of want to just keep talking. Romans 8, you can read Romans 8 though, for all that stuff. Called according to His purpose, predestined, all those words. Those are words that are basically talking about what God has called you to. Right. Okay. So we have a better understanding of the purpose that God has for us. Now, here's the problem, obviously, is that what people talk about in the fact that we have been predetermined for this. This is not something that God thought about when you got saved. Furthermore, this is not something that God purposed you for when you got to know Him. Before you were ever even born, God had already predestined you for this. He had already predetermined you for this. And purposed you for this. The only problem with the way that people use that is that people use this to say that if you were, you know, in other words, if someone's gonna get saved, it's not in their control. It's not in somebody's control whether they get saved, whether they, you know, do what God wants or not. That's not a person's choice. They just say, God chooses people without anyone's consent. And that's the wrong part right there, without anyone's consent. People will basically take verses from Romans 9 and other places in Romans especially. Romans is like the book for that especially. And they'll basically say that the purpose of God for your life is something that God does. It has nothing to do with your consent. Nothing to do with your choice. Just everything to do with the God who has mercy. If I'm quoting Romans 9, that would be a verse that people would quote. That it's not up to Him who, in other words, wills or runs, but up to the God who has mercy. And basically, they use that verse wrongfully, obviously. What they don't understand is that verse that we were reading a while ago. Remember that verse we were reading a while ago that was talking about the only just way for people to receive from God? That Christ would have made a propitiation for you, one. Two, that you would have faith in Jesus, right? It's that He might be just and only justify those who have faith in Jesus. So that means if you... Think about this. Let's just like reverse that verse. If that says the only way that God can be just and justify you is if you have faith in Jesus, then what if God justifies somebody if they, you know, apart from faith in Christ? What if He just kind of did something sovereignly? Then He wouldn't be just, according to that verse. So this is why every person needs to consent to the move of God. It's true that the purpose itself is brought about by God and predetermined by God, but it's still this is where we're getting to. God predetermines people that he foreknows. And this may sound a little jumbled to you right now, but we'll explain this more. The Bible says that God predetermines people for this destiny. And we know what the destiny is right now, right? So God predetermines people for this destiny only, and only, this is the most important part here, only, and I say only on purpose, if he foreknows them. This word know, I know, is a packed word, because Paul uses this word know for like even the day that he got saved. So there is like some depth to this word know, and I'm not going to explain it to you right now because I don't understand the depth of that word. But I'll tell you at the very, very least, okay, what you can gather from that. That God doesn't just predetermine everybody, but beforehand, he knows you. And if you were to read John chapter 6, the latter part of John, this is a pretty long chapter, the latter part of John chapter 6, it kind of alludes to what that foreknowledge is. And it talks about how Jesus knew those who would not believe him beforehand. And he knew the one who would betray him beforehand. He knows these things beforehand. And when God foreknows somebody, when he's talking about a Christian here, he understands that you'll consent to him. And therefore, before you ever did consent, because he knows you will consent, because he understands beforehand those who will believe and those who will not believe. And again, John 6, if you want to look that up, John chapter 6. Because he knows that beforehand. Remember, let's just take a step off this for a second. Without knowing anything about predestination and what that means, you start from the ground up. And the foundation being this, in this message, that you need to believe in Jesus to receive from God, right? That's something you have to do. And according to Deuteronomy, you have to choose that, right? So when you take that into consideration, God predetermines and destines people for being conformed to his son, just like we are. He predetermines that because he foreknows that you'll consent to him. Okay? And like I said, that's the very least that you can take out of that verse. It doesn't just say that God just predestines people sovereignly and that he just does it by himself without consent. But rather, those that he foreknows, these are the ones that he called. And the ones that he called, those are the ones that he predestines. Okay? So if you are a believer, you are a believer today and you are called to this destiny, and God did predetermine you for that destiny. And God chose you to draw you. And God chose you to draw you so that you could fulfill this destiny. But it wasn't just a sovereign choice without your consent. Everything that God does is with the consent of the receiving party.